discussion and talk. And remember last week we put up the top 10, our top 10 list. We'll have a top 10 list tonight as well. But we put up the top 10 list of one of the top reasons why we at 1200 should do life together. We're created for relationship. We're created for relationship, for unity, for our protection. Boy, do we need protection from ourselves, right? Confessing sin. Why should we do life together? Because confessing sin, the Bible says, James 5:16, confess sin to one another, right? Confess to one another. To mature, to learn from each other so that we can help somebody else. That's the great thing about learning from others. You pass it on. You pass it forward, right? And so the world will know that we're his disciples. That's biblical. That's in the Bible. To help each other stay faithful. Just because you are faithful don't mean that you will remain faithful. You need people in your life to help you through tough times and challenges. Stronger together. Absolutely. Stronger together than we are independent and apart. It's fun, Fredrina said. It's fun to do life together, isn't it? And if you're doing life together, you realize how fun it is. But it is also challenging. And so tonight we're going to talk about life together and understanding the life that we have. Last Sunday we talked about regeneration. And I wanted to spend a little time unpacking that. What does it mean to be regenerated? What does that sound like? We're doing life together. It's important that we understand the life that we have together, because we want to do stuff, don't we? Give us something to do. How do we, step A, step B, step C, step D? We want steps, but in order to do life together, you got to understand the life that we have. We got to understand the life that we have. And we're going to park on that for a little while because I feel like it's a need to understand the life that we have. So when we talk about regeneration, what are we talking about? Regeneration. What does that mean to you? Regeneration. We're all regenerated if we're Christians. What does that mean? Yeah. The plant was regenerating from the stump. Okay, yeah. Okay. Go ahead, stand up and tell us so we can hear. Yeah, cicadas, okay, yeah. 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 Oh, wow. Wow. That's a cool analogy. You know, I mean, I've never seen one with the shell right next to him. You just caught him when he got out, right? That's cool. Cool. Yeah. Constantly being made new. Okay. Do we need to be made new? Well, you know, that's why we talked about the whole story of Nicodemus and his conversation with Jesus. Because he was talking about, let me tell you something, flesh gives birth to flesh. Get that. I understand that. But the spirit gives birth to spirit. That flesh is that old shell. And the spirit is that new cicada flying out and all these new colors that you can't describe. It's amazing. It's new life. This is the life that we're talking about. Not the old shell. But many times in our minds, we function in the old shell. We reason the old shell. We have relationships in the old shell. We're limited by the old shell. And God wants us to live life in the spirit. What does that mean? The spirit gives birth to the spirit. It's a mystery. You can't contain it. You can't do it. You can do flesh. You can't do spirit. I can't do spirit. We can try. Here's a deep part. You got to be spiritual to do spirit. I know that's deep. I know that's over your head. I know. Yeah. Now, so when we talk about being born again, There are so many words that we can talk about when we talk about being born again, or regenerated, saved, new Christian, in the household of God. What does it mean? Tonight we're going to talk about one word, and it's so difficult because there's so many scriptures, but we're only going to focus on a couple. We're going to talk about being adopted. About being adopted, because we've got to hit it at a different angle for us to go, yeah, we are alive. We are a new creation. We have been adopted. How many of you know someone who has been adopted? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you have been adopted yourself? Okay. Have been adopted. You're adopted. Raise your hand. Okay. Awesome. How many of you have adopted someone? Okay. Brought them into your family. Okay. What are the similarities between how God adopts us and how we adopt? What are some of the similarities? What do you think? Yeah. Okay, can you stand up again? Yes. Unconditional love. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Similarities. Yeah. No longer have the old name. The last name now is of the adopted family. Okay, we no longer have our old name. Okay? Yes. Okay. Now they are a part of the family. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Expensive. It costs. It costs. Yeah. Great personal cost. Financially, emotionally, for both parties. Right? What else? Similar. Yes. Go from not having a family to having a family. To being a part of the family. Powerful, yeah. Yes. Identify, Yep. You would be identified, new family, new parents, new identity, new. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, normally, where they've come from is not as good as where they're going. Maybe not as secure, maybe extremely dangerous, and now they're secure and safe. And so there's a better environment. Yeah, Heather. Bless you. Yeah, that's right. You can start over, learn new things. Yeah, Thea. Bank account. What about the inheritance? You become a part of all of that, hopefully, prayerfully, right? Yeah. The person they chose you. They picked you out. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, awkward. Sometimes the older, if you're adopted as an older child, it's kind of awkward making that transition. You know, you used to, I can go in the refrigerator and get whatever I want. I mean, I mean, there's so many different transitions that can happen, and sometimes they're awkward, just like coming into the family of God. I mean, I got to be open about my life, confess who I am, talk about my weaknesses. What if they talk about me? Well, you got something to say about that too. But see, we making that transition into a spiritual household is a difficult thing for most of us. Anybody else? Yes. 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 Ah, yeah, yeah. You know, of course, most of you know we adopted Trudy and Sean at 5 weeks and 9 weeks. Sean 5 weeks, Trudy 9 weeks. And, you know, they go, no, you didn't adopt. They look just like you. You know, and so you have this, like, wow, you know. And the baby picture that I got with Sean from the Hope Adoption Agency in Atlanta, it was this black and white picture of me and this color picture of Sean. I'm like, that's me in color. That's crazy. And so, I mean, and so it was just really this refreshing time that we're like, wow, they look like us. They look like us, yeah. I want one more. Similarities, yes. Yes. Yeah, Denise Coates. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah. A real fear. Those of you who have adopted children, I mean, it's not like, you know, I talked with Trudy about this. It's not like the kids always enjoyed our household. You know, they're like, hey, you know, maybe we're better off if, you know. I'm like, well, maybe so. I mean, you have these challenging times where you give your heart. And to be adopted, there is a hole in your heart. That you wonder why and what happened. And so we try to do our best to communicate to Trudy and Sean that it's not about them, it's that their parents were in position and they did the loving thing. And so you have these conversations, but you are, you know, one time we had this conversation that we all have loss in this adoption. We have tremendous gains, but we all have loss in this. Jim, you want to say something? Yeah. Wow. Hear that? They went from temporary placement to permanent placement. Right, Greg? Greg Perkins, right? Yeah, fostered these two children. They went from temporary, they got legal, and they became permanent. Right? Boy, the feeling of, man, I am, but sometimes we think we're temporary sometimes. With God, we're like, oh, I blew it. I'm out the family now. Oh, Lord, no inheritance for me. You know, but no, it's permanent. It's permanent. Now, you know, in early Roman culture, you know, they had a lot of different laws. You can look it up on adoption. But many times, mostly boys were adopted. And the adoption was a little different. And their parenting style was a little different. They had laws in which if I didn't like my son, I could kill my son. I could be gone with him. No more inheritance. No, you are out of my family. And you look to adopt a mainly a boy who you feel like would make the name good and will have the inheritance and take care of your family. And so you would literally adopt someone like that. And so it was a whole different culture. But in terms of our culture and our adoption, what are the differences in our adoption and God's? Any differences that you can think of? Yes. Yeah. We're imperfect parents. God's perfect. Yes. Yeah. Unconditional love. obviously. We're conditional at best, yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. Wow. Wow. Yeah. We're damaged, flawed, you know, embittered, broken, bitter, frustrated, angry, sinful, rebellious. I'm not adopting that child. But God does. Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, these kids, they understand, man, we need to be adopted. We're in a situation, we want to be in a better place. They realize that they're grateful for the most part. There have been times, you know, obviously it's not a perfect. So here's what would be cool for us to understand. Honey, could you share the two girls that you knew in your hometown? Yeah. Yeah. Life Together, guys, we're not talking about another program. We're not talking about, oh, we're going to do this for life groups. We are going to do this for life groups. We're trying to get a deeper understanding so that we can have healthy and godly and spiritual and divine life groups, but you got to understand where the life comes from. Okay? So just like those two siblings, when we get it, when we understand that we have the same blood, then the difference is then we're more connected. But sometimes we function as if we're totally separate. And we only come when we meet together, but we're not connected in a deeper way. And so the goal for emphasizing life is to see how connected we really are. And from there, then we do. And then we serve. And then we become. But not just do and become so that. No, don't do that so that you can become. Form your convictions based on who you already are. We are the household of God. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, we. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. And we don't do it for our glory. We do it for God's. You follow what I'm saying? Because I know how we are. We want steps. We want practicals. And we're going to give you some immediate practicals. But boy, if you miss the eternal truths, then the practicals will die out. It will become just a meeting. We'll kind of squeeze it in. Instead of becoming who we already are. Does that make sense? Okay, and I really want to emphasize that. So, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And can we do, I'm going to go verse 3 and 4. Sorry about that. If you can't do it, we'll just, they have Bibles. You got, okay. Okay. In verse 3 of 2 Peter 1, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us the very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Do you realize that we, through Christ, have escaped our dysfunctional family? We have escaped dysfunction. The flesh gives birth to flesh and therefore causes dysfunction. When the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit, that is the divine nature that we have inside of us. The purpose, the very nature of God, is given to us in our rebirth. The very nature of God is given to us in our rebirth, our regeneration, us being born again, saved, baptized, whatever you want to call it. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. This is the purpose of salvation, to recover humanity from its inability to give God glory. Flesh was unable to give God the glory He deserves. And so we need the Spirit's help to give Him the glory that He deserves. Amen? We can't do that through our own will and our own strength. God has to recreate us. He has to convert us. He has to birth us again. He has to save people for His glory. And as a result, we will be regenerated. We'll have a new future. We'll have a new spirit, a new purpose, a new family, and a new eternal home. We can now have life together God's way. God's way. Not the way we prefer, but God's way. John MacArthur says this: the plan of redemption is to rescue, to redo, to give new life, to regenerate, to recreate, to restore, to transform, and to put them through a spiritual metamorphosis, and to make them partakers of the divine nature. When God does this, a truly regenerated person who's a partaker of His divine nature begins to look like Jesus. When that happens, you and I, we start to look like Jesus. God initiated it, but Jesus demonstrated it. He is our demonstration. Now, when you look at Jesus, you see the perfect image of God in human form. If you want to see the perfect work of the Holy Spirit in human form, look at Jesus. So, regeneration is the Holy Spirit being birthed in who? In us. The Holy Spirit being birthed in us. That's the Spirit's work, the restoration of the image of God in man. This is what's happening inside of us. Y'all looking at me like I'm speaking a different language. Now, what did God have to do, or what did they have in the Old Testament that led them to holiness? What did they have in the Old Testament? God said, be holy because I am holy. What did they have in the Old Testament to make them holy? The law. Ten Commandments. Okay. The 10 went to 613, still didn't fix them. Right? Really, all they had was obedience to the law to make them holy. That's all they had. But in the New Testament, what do we have? Is that an advantage? Being like God by obeying in the Old Testament. New Testament, being like God by following Jesus in order to restore the divine image, it can only happen through the Holy Spirit. That's the life that we're talking about. It's only can happen by the Spirit. All this is about family and family resemblance. Romans 8. Turn there with me, please. Romans 8. There's so much, but we're only going to look at a couple scriptures because of time. And there's no way we can do spiritual adoption in one night. So we'll just tap on it, get a little appetizer here. In Romans 8, you will see what the Holy Spirit and the work that he is doing, the work of adoption. In verse 14, Romans 8, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. What is the Holy Spirit's work in us, according to Romans 8 here? What is the Holy Spirit's work in us? What do you see here from the scripture? Yes. Changes our thoughts. He changes our thoughts. Yes. Jenny. Confirms that we're sons and daughters. Yeah. When we're thinking, oh, I'm just the black sheep. No, you're a sheep. You're not the black sheep. You're still in the fold. You're still in the household. You know, yeah. Ah, we're not slaves. Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Pardon me? Who our family is. Change our perception. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Good point. She says, Abba, Father, we cry from the Spirit. Abba, Father, this intimate cry like Jesus cried in the garden. They wouldn't dare say Abba Father as a Jew. You wouldn't dare do that. You were afraid to do that. You didn't have an intimate relationship with God, but through the Spirit we can cry intimately, Abba Father. And boy, do we need that in the household of God. Yeah. It confirms our future with God. Absolutely. Holy Spirit, yeah. Led by the Spirit. Woo, that's powerful. The work of the Spirit is to lead us somewhere. It's to lead us somewhere. Set apart. Lead us to holiness. Set apart our thoughts, our emotions, our conviction, our heart, our attitudes, our action. He is to lead us. His work is called sanctification. That's the Spirit's work, is sanctification, which is separation from sin to transform believers into the likeness of Christ. That's the Spirit's work. That's the Spirit's work. To lead us to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit's work is soul work. It's heart work. It's deep work. It brings us life. It's about being the family of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that makes you look like the rest of the family. We all come in looking like different people. But the Holy Spirit makes you look like your father. The Holy Spirit makes you look like your perfected brother, Jesus. The flesh keeps you looking like you. It does. But the Spirit leads you to look differently. And boy, when you have a bunch of led, Spirit-filled brothers and sisters in a family, what does that look like? It looks like the body of Christ. You got to get the eternal truths on before we can get to the practicals. Because Because if you don't, if you do that, you're going to get frustrated with the practicals. Because you're going to fall back into the flesh. You follow what I'm saying? Okay. God is in his church, and he attempts to make family, to redeem family, to regenerate family, so that his glory can be restored in the family. Just like he wanted his glory to be in the Israelites. Regeneration is about being recreated for whose glory? God's. It's about being recreated for God's glory. When you adopt, if you've adopted like we have, you understand that you cannot change that child's nature. You can't. They are who they are. They are who they are. When God adopts, he can. He can change a nature. He can change a nature. Adoption gives us the name, the title, and the rights. Regeneration gives us the nature of a new family. It's the spiritual genetics of our family. We got some good spiritual genes in this household, brothers and sisters. They're called spiritual genes, not the fleshly genes, not the fleshly DNA, the spiritual. So how does the Holy Spirit demonstrate his adoption? Let's look in verse 14. We already mentioned it. He leads us. He leads us. He directs us, not by force, but by inclination, by bending us, by changing our wills, by affecting our desires, our longings, our affections, and shifting our interests. He doesn't say, do that, do this. He works in our will. Don't you feel sometimes you're fighting him? I do. I go, I'm fighting inside. I know where the Spirit's leading me, but I'm like, no, I don't want to go. I want to stay in my flesh. The Spirit says, no, this is the body of Christ. The Spirit says, go. The Spirit changes your mind, your will, your direction in life inside. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And in verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. It gives us access to God, intimate access to God. If you're feeling lonely, well, that's not the Spirit. The Spirit wants to give you intimate access to God. No matter what's going around your circle, in your situation, God is there. And I'm learning in my life that I can't depend on my situation for happiness. I can't depend on my situation for security. I got to depend on my intimate relationship, my Abba Father relationship with God. Because the flesh will fail. I'm going to fail me and you. We got to understand that. So, he gives us this assurance of sonship in verse 16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. God's Spirit says, yes, you are. You go, oh, I don't know. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I mean, could you imagine me coming home at 16 going, I'm not your son anymore. I blew it. And my dad said, yep, you're right. You're not my son. You did blow it. Get the heck out of here. No. But sometimes our flesh wants us to just be so insecure when we have a Savior who died on the cross while we were still sinners, and yet now we're blameless. And now we're blaming ourselves when we're blameless. That's why we need to take that deep dive into a spiritual family, a life that is lived together. And so you and I, we need, that's why we need correction. So we can get back to what the Spirit desires. That's why we need admonishment, warning. Say, brother, sister, you're getting worldly. You get back in the flesh. Okay, these decisions you're making, it's not good for your soul. So why we need encouragement. Let's go right alongside. Here we go. Let's go together, right? That's why we need what? What are some other one another scriptures we need? Training. I don't know how to do this. I need to strengthen myself. I need to strengthen my courage, strengthen my faith. What else? Spurring. Whoa, hey, all right. Sometimes we need that. Come on, man. Yeah. Comforting. Man, when we're hurting, we need comfort. Man, this is the dog-eat-dog world. The flesh would get the most of us sometimes. And so we need comforting. All these things. Then these scriptures become, wow, we're doing all this for God's glory, not just to be a church or because I have to. We need grace. We need grace with each other. We have been at times a graceless family. Going back to the law, because we didn't understand who we were. How do you condemn somebody that's a part of you? So we're going to talk about the body later on, you know, in the weeks to come, that'll help you understand. You don't do that to your own body. That's just absurd. Listen to these verses. Just listen, and we'll close with this. And we'll close with, we're going to name top 10 reasons to get excited about being adopted into God's family, okay? We'll end with that. But listen to this. Let the scriptures just really penetrate your heart. Paul says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." Do you realize tonight that you are holy and blameless in God's sight? No one's asking you about your sight. No one cares about how you see yourself. That's not what's important. Look in the mirror, you see yourself. You say, oh, wow, I see. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's not the sight we're talking about. God's sight. How does God see you? Blameless in his sight, in love he predestined us for adoption. He knew it was going to happen. He knew we needed to be regenerated, recreated, redeemed. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. No one made him adopt us. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gives us in the one he loves. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. The last one I'm going to read. So encouraged. I mean, there's so many great scriptures on it. But when the time set has fully come, God sent his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out again, Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Some powerful stuff, man. That's Galatians 6 through 7. So, let's do the top 10. Are you ready? Top 10 reasons to get excited about being adopted into God's family. Can we get that top 10 list? Top 10 reasons to get excited about being adopted into God's family. Who could name one? Yes. Unconditional love. We are unconditionally loved. Unconditional love. I love it. Yes. Eternal life. Eternal life. A good way, good benefit of joining this family, huh? Yes. I've got the power to do what? Anything God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit. I've got the power. Well, really, we have the power to change. The power to love, you know, yes. New family, whole new family. Yes, Heidi. My identity is secure. No matter what you think of me. You know? I can't control that. We can't control that, right? But our identity in Christ is secure. Yes. Grace. We got grace. Okay, grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Yes. I'm sorry. A new identity. A new identity. You know, sometimes even in the church, we can identify somebody. We go, oh, that's just Brandon. I know all about Brandon. I've known him for 25 years. I know all about him. No, you don't. We think we got people pegged. You know, new identity. Blameless. New every morning. Yes. A perfect parent. Reparenting. Perfect parent. Boy, I mean, all of us, we're not perfect parents. Hey, kids, hear this. We're not perfect parents. And the kids are like, we know that. We already know that, right? God is. God is. Yes, Stephanie. Hopeless to hopeful. Yes. Great hope. Great hope. All right. One more. Yes, Patty. Peace gives us peace, takes away our fear. Gives us peace, takes away our fear. Took away half of the 10, too, didn't it? Half the fear, right? So again, we understand that doing life together, we have some practical things that we want to share, we want to teach, we want to encourage, getting together, talking about your life. You know, we know that. But boy, if we don't know the life part, we'll never really do the together part well. If we don't know who we are and whose we are and who we are together and why we are together, it's for the glory of God. And we're going to talk about when we sin and how it affects the body and our righteous effect. We know that, but sometimes we can forget the life that God has deposited into us. We have a tremendous life, a tremendous family. And I pray that we can do life together. Amen? We have